Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
Thank you, Brother Dearman. Once again, welcome to another installment of Reading the Word. My name is Justin Reed, and I'm so glad that you are here with us as we're going to continue our study on I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. We're ready for the third verse of that song, which is entitled, My Cross I'll Carry Till I See Jesus. And we're examining the life of the Apostle Paul. And first off, and we're making an application to us as well, first off, we learn that Paul had a life to live. Secondly, which is where we finished, or actually we didn't quite finish it last time, is that we all have a cross that we must bear. So I hope you will join me. We're going to continue reading the Word. Here in a minute, when I do get to reading God's Word, I will be reading from the King James translation of God's Word, and all of these sermons, this series of sermons, are available for free on my website. You can download them, stream them, listen to them right there at www.thejustinreedshow.com/readingtheword. That's thejustinreedshow, R-E-E-D, .com/reading, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, theword.com. Now, friends, there are some things as we're looking at the life of Paul. We just talked about how on this earth we don't have the home court advantage, but in heaven we will. There are some things that Paul had to bear. A lot of his fellow, quote-unquote, friends now hated Paul. The church was afraid of him. Now, peace does eventually come to the church after Paul, as we might say, switches sides and starts playing for God's team and not Satan's. But until then, there is havoc in the church. And some of these people, they might have had to bear these things as well. However, friends, if we want to truly get to heaven, if we truly want to get to heaven, we'll be glad to bear anything for the cause of Christ. Friends, we're told we need to bear our cross. That's what Jesus Christ says in Matthew 16, verse 24. But let a man deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Also in Luke's account of that, Luke 9 and verse 23, he says, let a man deny himself, take up his cross daily. I like Luke's version just a little bit more. That reminds us it is a daily thing. Also Galatians 2 and verse 20, look what Paul said. He said, for I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, why could Paul say this? Friends, he knew it wasn't really Paul that was living anymore. It's Christ. Now, we also see that Paul made a similar statement in Acts and to those at Philippi in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I've mentioned that in this program, a series of programs before, but I'll mention it again. Paul knew that he wanted to go on and be with the Lord, but he also knew it was more beneficial for those at Philippi and other places for him to remain on this earth. So that's why he says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, he could say that because he knew he had a great benefit to offer these people, but could we say the same thing? Do we have a great benefit that it's actually better for those around us if we're still alive on this earth? Are we still teaching, preaching, living a faithful example for them? Or are they really not gaining anything from us? Friends, he had a life to live. He had a cross to bear. And now, thirdly, as we look at what Paul did, as we think about my cross I'll carry until I see Jesus, we see that Paul had a decision to make. We already mentioned Paul was not saved on the road to Damascus. The Bible does not teach that. He was told he must go find a man named Ananias. And Ananias would tell you what to do. So pick up the story with me in Acts 22, verses 12 through 15. Now, the conversion of Paul, it happens in Acts chapter 9. Paul recounts it in Acts 22, and Paul recounts it again in Acts 26. There's a total of three accounts of this, or three tellings of the same account. So in the first time he tells it, in Acts 22 and verse 12, and one Ananias, he was a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me, Paul is saying, and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. In the same hour I looked upon him, he had been blinded. And he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see the just one, who shouldest hear the words, or the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen, what thou hast heard. Ananias is getting ready to tell him, and Ananias expounds the word of God to him. And so we see here, Acts 22 and verse 16, the Bible says, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord." Now that's King James Version. You might word it today, "And now why are you waiting to obey the gospel?" Friends, Ananias is basically telling Saul he's just waiting to obey the gospel. Saul knows what he has to do. Everything is physically present for him to do so, but Paul is dragging his feet. Why? He just needs to realize that, friends. It's the same thing. We could ask the same question today. Just like Saul, Acts 22:16, "And now why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord." Friends, we have everything today we need. We have ample water. We have people that can physically baptize or immerse. We have people that will witness it. And, friends, we also have people who need the baptism. Now we're just waiting on the sinner to respond to this invitation. Just like Ananias, we're waiting on that response. They have the knowledge, all the knowledge we need in God's Word. Friends, there are plenty of people around that could help explain something to people. There are many great people in this county alone. I'd be glad to help you. Just waiting on them. We're not just waiting on the erring child to come back before it's too late. We're waiting on them. We're also waiting on someone who has never obeyed the gospel. Friends, my cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. Paul had a cross to carry, friends, so do we. Do we carry this cross? More importantly, do we carry this cross on a daily basis? Or just when we think someone might be looking? We don't need to carry it at all if we're not going to carry it all the time. Friends, being a Christian means we're going to carry our cross each and every day of our lives, no matter what. On a good day, the bad days, and the in-between days, we'll always carry our cross. Why? Until we see Jesus. Have you decided to follow Jesus? Are you carrying that cross daily until you see Him? If not, friends, let this motivate you to do so. Well, let's pause here. We need to take a quick break, give you some information on the Wood Church of Christ, where I'm honored to be the pulpit minister. We'll come back and pick up our fourth leg of the study, No Turning Back, here on Reading the Word.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Thank you so much for sticking around with us here on Reading the Word with me, Justin Reed. We're going to continue our study on I Have Decided to Follow Jesus with the fourth installment in this series, No Turning Back. Now, when we talk about No Turning Back, that's the kind of the refrain of the invitation song. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And I want us to examine the chorus and apply it to our lives. No turning back. First off, what does it mean? Well, I want us to go what could be determined as our scripture text for this lesson. That's found in Genesis 19, verses 17 and following. The Bible says, "It came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, he said, Escape." Now we're talking about Lot and his family, his wife and two daughters, escaping from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. "Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." And Lot said unto them, "Oh, not so, my lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto. It is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." And he said unto him, "See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also. I will not overthrow this city for which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou come thither." Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar, and the sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities, they which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And verse 28 tells us he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and saw that great destruction. Friends, Lot's wife looked back and she was turned into a pillar of salt. Even though she was told not to, she was explicitly told not to. Why'd she do this, friend? She was losing her lifestyle. More likely than not, that was her home, family members, friends, possessions, acquaintances. She enjoyed the pleasures of sin just too much. Friends, when we remember the past, we often reflect upon the good things, and we want to go back and relive the good moments, and sometimes we look too much into the past, and that causes us to stumble. I think about the Israelites after they had crossed the Jordan River, and they're out wandering in the wilderness, and they get tired of eating manna, which God's providing for them, and the quail, which God's providing for them, and the shelter, and the clothes that didn't wear out, and the shoes that didn't wear out, anyways. I'm reminded of the fact that they basically said, we had a better life in Egypt when we were slaves and eating that food. No, they didn't. But they didn't like where they currently were because it involved effort. And so they thought, well, we might as well just reminisce on the past part. Now, friends, Lot did not say, hey, honey, look behind you. She did it all on her own. Sometimes we go back to things, or we want to go back to things we just cannot. Here's what I find interesting. Luke 17:32 is the only mention of Lot's wife in the New Testament. It's one short, simple sentence. Remember Lot's wife. That's our admonition. Remember what? She turned back to sin. She wanted to go back, and she was made a pillar of salt. Historians tell me there's a pillar of salt about in that area they think may resemble what, at least what she looks like. I think about Esther chapter 4, starting in verse 12 and onward. Esther could have turned back, but she never did. And because she never did, she eventually saved all of the Jews, and all of the Jews, of course, being God's chosen people. Of course, there's that famous phrase in Esther 4:14, who knowest whether thou art cometh into the kingdom for such a time as this. Friends, Jesus kept on going when people were spitting upon him as he carried his cross up. He couldn't carry it all the way. He fell beneath the load. But friends, he went as far as he could. He did not let that stop him. Friends, when we turn back, we cause others pain. Some people turn away when they don't feel love. Friends, it is our job to love the brethren. I want to give you a quote now from Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers, in his book, The World According to Mr. Rogers, Important Things to Remember. He said, love isn't a state of perfect caring. It's an active noun like struggle. To love someone is to strive to accept that person exactly the way that he or she is right here and right now. Friends, that's what we must do. We must love. We must love people in that exact way, right here, right now, where they're at. So Lot's wife looked back. We could say, well, at point number two, that's a lot of amount the salt makes. You know, why don't we have recorded the name of Lot's wife? Friends, let me tell you something right now, and this is not easy to tell you. It's not easy for me to realize either. Friend, Satan does not care what my name is. He does not care what your name is. He just wants you to, as I like to say, add you to his shelf or his collection. Say, well, they're mine. I don't know their name. It doesn't matter. Friends, we don't have her name. It doesn't matter. Revelation 20 and verse 15, whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If our name is not found in the Lamb's book of life, we're going to burn in hell. I'm going to tell you, it's pretty harsh. But it's truth. It's plain and it's simple. Lot's wife does not have her name mentioned, but I tell you what, friends, I want you to find Justin Reed, his name and his wife's name and everybody's family's name in that Lamb's Book of Life, and you should want that as well. Friends, in life, we always look forward. We should never look backwards. Now, in your car, you've got a rear view mirror. In fact, you're required by Tennessee state law to be able to see two out of three mirrors, either your rear view or your two side mirrors at any given time. However, in our spiritual lives, it's not that way. Our spiritual lives, we don't need to be looking back at where we've been or what we're passing by on the other side. Instead, we need to look straight ahead to our goal, and that way we cannot get lost. We're going to have to draw our line in the sand here once again. I hope you'll join me next week as we will wrap up our study on I Have Decided to Follow Jesus and the invitation song, the last verse, No Turning Back, No Turning Back. Until next week, here on Reading the Word, may the good Lord bless you and keep you.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.